Now, I'm going to tell you something about me. We're going to laugh. I'm going to crack some jokes. So if y'all need to wake up, if we need to stretch or do jumping jacks, let me know before we get started. I want to tell you that it was awesome to see what we saw this morning. But I also want to just tell you what a blessing this church is and what good things you have going on. And I guess if there's a motto to our sermon today, it's going to be, I'm going to give you not the state of the union, but the state of the church. One of the advantages, and if you want to, you can drive up to Newburgh and come to Bio. When you come in from the outside, you get to see things that other people don't see because you get used to being here. And so I'm going to talk about a few of those things and just talk about how God's working at Woodlawn. I do have Isabella with me. It's a shame some of the kids on the bus aren't here because Isabella's like a rock star when she shows up. When I walk in, they don't say anything. Emma or Isabella walk in and they're like, oh, Isabella, Emma, you know. So Isabella's a senior and she's in band. She got put on the homecoming court, which we're really proud of because she's pretty like her mama. She's hard-headed like her daddy. So she got best dress. So she buys all that at Goodwill. So she's real excited about that. But she's the last one we have at home, and we're already starting to get a little bit of that empty nest thing going on because I swear she's trying to find something to do every night this year to not be at home because she's just staying busy. So Amanda and I are getting to spend some good time together. But thank you guys for having us. It's been hard for me to get down because I preach up in Bio, and this was a great opportunity to get Owen baptized and speak down at the lake and get to talk to some of those folks. And got to come visit with you guys. Now, I will say, some of those young folks that were there, I was like, okay, you going to church, right? I'm like, no, we're going on the lake, you know, whatever. So I got a list, and Stan's on there, Monty. I got you. But I'm so thankful for you guys. And I tell you, one of the things you haven't done that you need to do is you need to put a clock on this back wall back here.
No.
My church has one, but it doesn't matter. It just keeps going and going and going.
It's on the pulpit.
Oh, okay. It's right here. Y'all had to get up closer with John, so I'm a little ADD, so I may never look at it. So what time do y'all normally get done?
At 1:30.
1:30? Well, then 2:30, you'll be good then. So anyway, thank you guys for having me. I got something a little unusual for you today. I have two scriptures for you. And I want to link them together because I want to, if you don't know me, I want you to understand me a little bit better before I leave. While I function the way I function, I truly think there's two things that God asked us to do. And one is to believe in Him and the other one is to share Him with other people. And that's it. I mean, it's that simple. But a lot of people do the first, but a lot of people don't do the second. And I've spent the last 30 years trying to be faithful to the second part of that. I'll tell you this story I told at the lake, but my friend Bob Hardy, when I called him and said, I'm doing youth down at Woodlawn, I said, do you know any 59-year-old youth pastors? And he said, no, can't say that I do. And I said, well, you do now. I've told John, I've told Brent, I've told Stan, I was like, Monty, I'm like, I'm way too old for this. Last time I did youth was 25 years ago, but evidently my mind never matured, so the kids still like me and it's okay, but we have a good time and we've had some big blessings going on, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. John 8:12 says this. It said, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness and will have light of life. And then I'm going to turn over to Matthew 5:4, and it says this, 5:14, excuse me. It says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word and ask you to bless the reading and hearing of it. In Jesus' name, amen. The secret sauce to Christianity, and I've actually preached this in this particular pulpit before. My favorite scripture is Corinthians 13:1-13, because it's about love. The key to Christianity is love. It's written on my sign, John. I don't know if you saw it when you visited. It's written on our church bus. It's love. There is nothing more complicated than that. If kids are responding to anything right now, they're responding to love. Not just from me, but from all of you guys here, for the food that's made, Pam, and for all the things that y'all are doing to serve. But more so than theologies, more so than, you know, the hymns that we just sang, they respond to love. And we all actually want that. These two scriptures tell me two things. First of all, Jesus said that He is the light of the world. Yeah. And the second one, guess what? He said, you're the light of the world. Amen. That link together is important. Okay? When I first went into Christian service, the first thing we did at First Methodist in Elberton was help volunteer with youth. Now, listen, back then I was 29 years old. But we just volunteered because as I read my Bible, I realized that, hey, I need to give back somehow. And it seemed like the youth were the way to go because I was closer in age, but also cut up a whole lot. So, man, and I volunteered there. I wasn't called to ministry yet. I just was doing what I thought we should do. I was in Promise Keepers. I was hearing a lot of sermons about supporting your pastor. And John, what I did from the beginning is I support my pastor. I support my pastor because a lot of people don't. And a lot of people aren't praying for him. A lot of people aren't lifting him. You better be glad you came. I'd have talked bad about you at the end of the sermon. I actually already have. Glad to see you, Stan. Good. The amen crowd made it. But for 30 years, from Concord all the way up to today and at Woodlawn, I'm going to be honest with you. This is true. Listen, I'll say that a lot because I talk honest. The first week I came down here, I think I shook John's hand. I said, okay, good to meet you, man. See you later. Because I was like, oh my gosh, what have I gotten into? Because I'm old. And as I get older, I don't like a bunch of noise. I don't like a bunch of activity. And I don't like... And evidently, we got a lot of it, high octane. And I can give you a little bit of the state of the union of the church. Those kids have changed over the last year.
Amen.
Those folks... I mean, listen, it's been a slow go.
Yes.
But they've changed. They're changing. We had the best lesson just Wednesday night. And it hadn't always been that way. A lot of times I'm talking and it's just not there. But they're starting to get it. And the reason they're starting to get it is because they know I love them. I tell them all the time. I love them. I may not like them, but I love them. And I want them to get it. But man, a lot of these kids need more. A lot of them are not just learning about Christ, but they're learning how to live as an adult. They're learning how to act normal. They're learning how to have manners. They're learning how to, you know, be a part of a church. And it's important. It's important that we model it for them, but they won't pay attention to it if you don't add that love in. If the love's not there, it's just you're talking to deaf ears. That's all there is to it. You see, Jesus calls us to be a light. I said it at the early service, I'll say it at this one. I'm not qualified to do what I do. I didn't know I was going to get the call to ministry. It was late in life. Obviously, you can look at me and tell that I was a bouncer in a bar before I became a Christian. I became a Christian and I served church, but I didn't know I was going to get the call to ministry. I was on an Emmaus weekend when I felt it. And I've been doing it, being faithful to it ever since. But man, it's not about how well I did in seminary. It's not about how educated I am. No amens on that. It's about how I love. How do I love? And not only do I love mine, I definitely love mine wherever she just went, but do I love the others? Bree's birthday is next Wednesday. You know, I know because she told me. And I had to write it on my calendar because I said, text me and remind me on Wednesday that it's your birthday so I can text you. Because I don't pay attention to it. But I love her. I love her. Owen, who we baptized today, I love him. Shane and Brenda have done a great job with him. I actually had nothing to do with that. He just was ready to get baptized. Riker Brown, who we just baptized a few months ago, I love him. Those two names were the first two kids I called because I didn't know any kids in Elberton. I didn't know who to call. How are we going to build a youth group if I don't know anybody? And then we're out in the middle of nowhere, by the way. And no, there. Well, this is actually a good thing. There's no internet out here. You have to like mail a letter if you want to get something out here.
We haven't given them the password yet.
Well, I keep getting it, but then I keep forgetting it. And I don't know how to log. There's not enough internet to get back onto the internet, so it's just crazy. But it's been a good thing because kids can't be on their phone. At Bio, they're on their phone, so it's been a good part. But I would have Owen and Riker meet me at Eagle Granite before I come down here, and they would ride with me. And I can tell you that I did a lot more church in that Jeep than I did while we were here. And I told them before we got here, I said, look, we're going to have a youth group, but it's not going to be completely there yet. You know, we've got to work on it. It's got to be some work. Like, we got to get them to the right place so it's a really healthy youth group. But I said, I don't want you to go down there with some high expectations and then get there and go, well, this is not there yet. I need you. I need you to serve. But see, those rides back and forth, we became friends. Me and Riker have said multiple times, Mando will text me like, where are you? I'm sitting in Eagle Granite's parking lot talking about Jesus and talking about a relationship. Not only that, sharing some of my past with him, talking about the tough days, talking about what it's like to come to Christ and what it means to be a Christian. I don't push people into baptism, but yet I baptized more people this year than I have all throughout. I told them in the early service, you know, a lot of y'all know, some don't. My mom's been dealing with dementia for a while now, and it's been a tough year and a half for us. And in the midst of it, I'm coming down here and serving while mom's laying up there and has since passed away. But God showed me that little bright light of Owen and Riker and the youth that are here. When I walked, I was at mom's, I walked into the sanctuary, you know, to see some people that were at the funeral, and they brought the bus up there. And the little girls that were on the bus that are in your youth group here, they ran up and gave me the biggest hug. And man, it moved me. It moved me because they wanted to be there, you know, for me. Because it's saying a lot about what's going on inside of them. You got to earn that trust, by the way. Kids don't give it up. I don't know if y'all know that or not. They don't just give it to you. You got to earn it. They got to know that you mean it. Not only in the good days, but in the bad days. They got to know that you're going to be faithful and you're going to be there for them. But you got to be that light. God calls me to be a light. I would like nothing more than to be out on late right now, Stan. I would like nothing more to be sitting at home. But God calls me to be a light at Woodlawn. He calls me to be a light at Bio Baptist Church. He calls me to be a light at Eagle Granite Company. He calls me to be a light not only on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday also. And I did watch football yesterday. And to be honest, we had a good day, but some days those aren't good light days. So I don't know, maybe Sunday through Friday, because some Saturdays, you know, ain't all that. Y'all can laugh. It's all right. We're going on. All I do is love. And all I want to see is not Troy's light, but where the light comes from. All I want to do is point, even with you guys today, all I want to do is point to the solution. And it's a relationship with Christ. It truly is. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to go over the top with what all we do. All I am, I'm Troy standing here. At work on Tuesday, I'll be Troy again, same way. I'll have the same conversation with you in the Jeep riding back that I'll have here, because they want you to be authentic. They want to know they can trust you. They want you to be honest, and they want you to be authentic. They don't need you to pretend to be a good Christian. They want you to be one, because you got to model it. So we're called to be like, listen to what it says in here. It said it's not to be hidden. We're not to take our lamp and put it under the bed, right? But it's to be up on a stand for everybody to see. I remember, and listen, I'll probably tell you too much stuff, but I do that sometimes. At probably 27 years old, I had moved back from Atlanta. I had started a little etching business. It was making a little bit of money, but not enough. And so I moved in with my mom and dad for the first time in years. First of all, it was boring. They don't do anything but watch TV. But I was laying in that I was laying in that little bedroom reading my Bible and developing a relationship with Christ. I was undoing some things that needed to be undone. And I was learning about how much God loved me. But then I started getting to these parts that I didn't really agree with. And this was the one I didn't agree with. It was good for me to be there huddled up reading my Bible and understanding it. But the more I read it, I realized that not only was I supposed to understand it, I was supposed to share it with somebody else. I was supposed to share it. It was comfortable when it was me just reading it and understanding it. But now I got to tell, and listen, Priscilla, there are a lot of people that know the whole story. There's a lot of people that know where I was. But something was changing inside of me. The first people that I ministered to were the very people I left in the bar in Atlanta. And the conversations and the arguments. All of a sudden, the guy that used to be fun up there wasn't quite as much fun. All he wanted to do is talk about Jesus and the transforming of his life. And it took a while for them to even understand. Some people still can't understand that I'm a preacher. But it took a while. But see, that part was uncomfortable. Sharing with people truly your faith. All I am is honest with those kids sitting in there. When we have lessons and stuff, I'm just as honest with them as I am with you. Because all the other, if it's not honest, won't matter. But if they know that what you're telling them is true, if your word is good, if I tell you I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here. Now, Brent, I did take the wrong turn and I did go, where were we at, Amanda? We almost weren't here. I told you I'd be here. I almost wasn't because evidently I can't find my way just down to Bobby Brown. We were just heading on out. We were starting to see places. We in South Carolina or something, wasn't it, baby? It seemed like forever, and we had to be here. Guys, we're called to be light. God is the light. Jesus himself is the light. But we're called to be light, too. I tell them in bio, and you may not like this, I don't like pew riders. And I can tell you, by looking around this room, I can almost go around this whole room and tell you that most everybody in here serves and is active. I can tell you because I've seen you serve and be active. There's others that don't. I remember when I first went to First Methodist in Elberton, I thought, now look, first of all, I want you to get the whole picture. I had this really nice ponytail, couple of earrings. It was sweet, man. And I walked in the back door of that church. And I swear, everybody in there turned and looked at me. Because, oh my God, it's Troy. And I felt that, you know, like it was shaking. The ground was shaking. And I sat in the back row. But I was like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to give it a shot. And if I ain't joining your Sunday school, I'm not coming to your small group. I'm not doing any of that. I'm going to sit and listen. And I'm going to give it a chance. Great guy named Bob Partridge was a pastor there back then. And he was an older guy, but he was so well spoken. He had this beautiful way of preaching. And man, he was just like layer after layer was peeling off of all the things that were inside of me until it finally got me to a place where I walked that aisle. It didn't come immediately, but man, there were some good folks. I was in small groups of Promise Keepers, and there were some good folks. Monty, were you on that bus when we went to Washington, D.C.? Did you go to Washington with us?
No, sir.
You were at Columbia with us. Yeah. Man, back then, all these guys in Elberton were getting on the square, and I was in this great little small group with Bob Hardy and Quincy Fortson and some others. It changed my life. The early foundations of my Christian faith were being formed by these great Christian men. I'm going to tell you that, look, I'm always honest. I keep saying that, but maybe, don't ever trust somebody who says he's honest more than once, because he's probably not. That's a joke. That's me. Don't trust me. I'm being dishonest. A lot of folks in Elberton already had a good opinion of who I was. Bob Hardy and Quincy Fortson didn't see who I was. They saw who I could be. And they pointed to it. And they kept propping me up and encouraging me and listening to the whole story and praying for me. And it changed my life. Because when other people are looking at me, look, Priscilla, you'll love this. Amanda worked at Pools. Y'all remember Pools, everybody? Y'all remember that? Amanda was the homecoming queen in Elberton, 1995. prettiest girl in Elberton, man. Everybody wanted to go out with Amanda. And then some sorry rascal from Buckhead who'd been working in a bar scooped in, and guess what? There you go. But there were a lot of people in Elberton that knew who I was. And a lot of people didn't like it because I wasn't quite there yet. Bob Hardy was a boss at pools. And he'll tell you now, he had some doubts too. This year is 29 years. Next year will be 30. God was doing something. Amanda was part of that. God put Amanda in my life while I was coming to him because I needed somebody to love me unconditionally and help pull me out of what I was and motivate me. Funny story. I was living in a little warehouse across from Richards when I first moved here. I started a little etching company, and I was living in the back of this warehouse. And I had already seen Amanda. I was actually sitting at Richards. I won't tell you what I was doing, Glenn, at Richards, but I was sitting in there with some friends, and Amanda walked in the door, and I looked up, and I fell in love with her immediately, and I knew that that's who I was going to marry. Stacy Wilson was sitting at a table with me, I remember, because I said, "Who is that girl? She's beautiful." And she said, "Troy, that girl is 17 years old." I was 29. And one day I was down at that little warehouse and I heard what Isabella does, beating on those drums. And it was a little Christmas parade coming right up the back door where I was living. And I went out there and looking rough. There's my mom and dad and all these people out there. And here comes that pretty little girl riding on a little car. And I was looking at her. She stalked me after this, but I was looking at her. I was like, "I'm going to marry that girl one day." She went around the square, came back. I was standing on the other side looking at her. I'm like, "I'm going to marry that girl one day." Amanda likes when I tell the story, but also embarrasses a little bit. I'd been around a lot of pretty girls in my life, but Amanda was beautiful on the inside and still is. And I fell in love with that light that came from her. I fell in love because I knew she was a good girl. It also made me start going to church. Way before we spoke, we didn't speak for months after that. I started going to church on my own, but part of the reason was I was like, "I got to clean up my act if I'm going to ask that girl out." But in doing so, I ended up having this change that came in life. It's been a long time ago now, but man, I still believe in those same principles. I still want to have the love that Bob Hardy had for me, for other folks. There's a lot of kids that come to our church that have a long way to go. There's a lot of them that still need a lot of love, and they need somebody to see something in them that they can't see in themselves. One of the things I love about this church is, and not all of you guys are going to come do youth, but you're financing it. You're taking care of it. You're seeing a need. Probably one of the best things you're doing this year is what's happening on that Wednesday night. Because Gina, and man, Gina just does something, but she's going out on that bus. And she's bringing in kids from all kind of walks of life that have all kind of stuff going on and bringing them to church. And when they're here, we're being faithful to feed them. We're being faithful to love on them. But we're also being faithful to share God's word with them. Now we cut up, we play around. Some days, I mean, I go home and I'm like, "Ooh, what am I doing?" Because I'm stressed out. I'm too old for this. And then some days I see this beautiful moment of a life starting to change. Just a couple of weeks ago, I asked them questions. I opened it up to them. I asked them questions. You'd be surprised how much insecurity they have, how much hurt they have in their lives, how much struggling they're doing, how they don't fully understand or see their own capabilities. I keep telling them, like, you can be whatever you want to be. It doesn't matter. Do it. It's fine. But their whole lives, they thought they weren't able to. Not all of them, listen. But a big portion of them. But see, what you're doing and that money you're putting towards that, you're building disciples. I'll tell you a little secret. You hang on to those kids for 10 years. Love on them. Everybody in here, love on them. Learn their names. Invite them to your house and feed them some food. Owen and Riker, that's the way it worked. Love on them. Find one. Pick one. Everybody in here, pick one. We need to have little picture cards that we can hand out. Pick one. And invest in them. Teach them something that you know. Give them something extra at Christmas time or do something for them. But wait 10 years and watch what happens. 10 years from now, they're 25 years old, 26 years old, 27 years old, and they're married and they got kids. And because you loved on them, guess what they do? They come to church here. And all of a sudden, you've got these young families that are blowing up your church because you loved them when nobody else loved them. I'm forever, faithful to Bob Hardy. I called him before we did the lake thing this week because he's my buddy. Because, man, he loved me when nobody else could love me. When I was hard to love. When I was still struggling with stuff. The reason I have a heart for the lost and for these kids that struggle is because, man, all they need to do is hear it and see it. This church is faithful to put things in motion. It's faithful to have all these men. I'm blown away every week. I mean, every month or week. All the ministries you have going on here. I've been at Chatty Cathy's one time. It's a lot more chatty than crafty. Chatty Crafty. Chatty Cathy's a doll, I think. Chatty Crafters. A lot of chatting. A little bit of crafting going on. I see on the Wednesday night suppers the men and the women and the choir and all the things that are going on. I've been to Promise Keepers here with Monty. I've spoke at Promise Keepers here back in the day. I know all the ministries you have in place. But I'm telling you, the thing that you got going on this year is God's blessing you with a youth group. We had, what, Brent, 27 the other day? 27. I bet you, and I listen, it ain't about flexing. I bet if you went to one of the big churches downtown, yeah, less numbers. Yeah. That's God working, not Troy, God, and a good bus. But we got to be faithful to meet them where they are. We got to be faithful to love on them when they're there. Listen, sometimes they're hard to love because of being crazy. Love them anyway. Because you're going to be surprised because one's going to jump up out of there and they're going to be something special to this church. I'll say this and I'll shut up. What time do y'all normally stop? Don't tell bio that I stopped on time. They'll go crazy because I always go 15 minutes over. Owen and Riker. Owen is what? 17? 16? 16. Riker would be 17, 18, right? 18. I should learn their birthdays, Bree. They're somewhere below 30. I don't know. Somewhere down there. They're part of my life. More than whatever I'm giving them, they've become my friends. I've got 16 and 17 and 18 year old friends. Those kids that I'm pouring into, that old man that's sitting in there talking to them, they love me enough to come to my mom's funeral. What I'm saying is that as you give and as you serve, you get so much more back. They're always going to be part of my life. 20 years from now, they'll be in my life if I'm still here. Because you can't outgive God. You can't outserve Him. You can't outlove Him. And you can't outshine that light. But man, do it. Do it. Be part of it. If you can't physically do it, support it. Because God is blessing Woodlawn United Methodist Church. Not United, Global. Sorry, John. It's hard to get rid of that, isn't it? Funny story. That little, where it used to have the flames. I'm the joker that had to paint that thing, Monty. And then we had to dig it up because, you know, that's a whole other story. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It used to be right there. I was on my hands and knees painting that thing for Monty one time. I looked at it when I walked in. I said, we had to get another one, didn't we, Monty?
No,
we can speak it over. You had to grind him out and do all that. That's a whole other story. We won't go there. But guys, God is blessing this church. He's bringing young folks to this church. If I said all you have to do is show up on a Wednesday and then pull all those kids, first of all, it'd be hard to get through the whole service because they wild. But 27 children in church today would look a lot different, wouldn't it? People will love you. John Wesley said this, if your church catches on fire with enthusiasm, people will come from miles around to watch it burn. You get that love and that service and you get that spirit that God has. People, man, something special is going on down at Woodlawn. They got a big old youth group down there. They got a lot happening. Man, 100 so folks down at the lake today watch Owen get baptized. Family had 75 of them, so to be fair, that was it. But people will come. God will ask us, did we love? Were we the light? Or did we take it and hide it under the bed? Guys, put it on the stand. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace. I thank you that you're the light in our lives. Father, even though we're imperfect, help us to be good servants. Help us to praise you and always focus on you and not ourselves. And help us to see those that are right in front of us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.